Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos Chav Vav. We're in Chav Amud Beis. We are continuing the Gemara's discussion regarding Yichus. What exactly is going to be give somebody the credentials, the authenticity of being a Miuchas, specifically that of Kohanim? How do we know that a Kohen's a Kohen? So if the if this is somebody who has historically lived with us, in other words, his parents, his grandparents, et cetera, so he has a Chazakah, he has a presumed status of being a Kohen. But somebody new coming to town and we don't know his status, so what will give him the status of being a miyucha? So the Gemara now, the last couple of days, this is a three-day discussion in the Gemara, and this today will represent the last of the 3 days in which we're discussing this topic, but obviously an extraordinarily important topic in terms of establishing a yichus. So what exactly is going to be the platform in which he now is going to be a miyucha? So the simplest answer is shtei edim. So two witnesses come and testify that we know his father, we know his grandfather. So that will serve as the basis of creating yichus for this individual. Now he's a kohen miyuchas, and now he can marry anyone under the presumption that he's a kohen. What about other activities that would give us the impression that he is a kohen? Let's say, for example, he duchens. Let's say, for example, he's eating truma. So is that going to give him a status of being a kohen? Now, again, this is going to be my third day in a row where I get to make the same comment, and that is a little bit incredulous, just a little bit difficult to explain, a little bit difficult to understand, and that is that if you see him eating truma, so Lagabi eating truma, he's a Kohen, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he has yichus. Now, I know that sounds funny. In other words, if you're seeing somebody eating Kohen, if you see somebody, let me do that better, incorrectly, if you see somebody eating truma, so that is an unbelievably good indication that he's a Kohen. Any non-Kohen eating truma is chayv misa bidei shamayim. So it's hard to imagine that if you see somebody eating truma, nobody's protesting, and at the distribution centers, like he's there in line and everyone's fine with it, and that's okay. But nevertheless, he's not yet a miyuchas. He doesn't have the quote unquote proper lineage. How does that work? So the answer that I've been giving the last couple of days, and it seems like the correct answer, is mala alu biyuchsin. In other words, yeah, that's right. That when it comes to yichus, so they were just that much more higher in terms of requirements. The standards are significantly higher when it comes to yichus. And yichus obviously is a really big deal. Previously, both in Yevamos and earlier in Ksuvos, we learned that a kohen and a miyuchas, that if a kohen does not know his yichus, he can't do the avodah. So that will certainly play in, way into this discussion regarding why yichus is so important. But regardless, it is. In other words, that's just simply the reality. It is, in fact, significant. And what exactly is going to create the standard of yichus? So is it going to be the eating of truma? Is it going to be the duchening? Is this going to create a standard of yichus? And as we have discussed now the last couple of days, maybe. I know that's not a great answer, but the Gemara went back and forth on this very, very issue. Amorayim argued this very issue. And so maybe it's pretty much the correct answer vis-a-vis the Gemara. From the Gemara standpoint, maybe. Rebbe Chia. So we're picking up now in this discussion. We are on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rebbe Chia, Chad Hala Ben Api Aviv Lekahuna V'Chad Hala Ach Api Achiv Lelevia. So there were two psakim that were offered by Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. And one is that a father testified regarding his son that he's a Kohen. That's Eid Echad, and not only is it Eid Echad, but it's also a Karov. So as the Gemara in a moment is going to explain, it's a little bit difficult to understand. If we need testimony, testimony usually means, almost always means, that it has to be a non-relative. A relative is Pasul Eidus. It's what's called a Karov. And the second psak that was offered is regarding a brother who testified about an individual. Nobody knew who he was. Yes, that's my brother, and he's a Levi. And Yichus was bestowed based on that testimony. So the Gemara says, Tistayim. Now let's conclude. Meaning at this point in time, we have two psakim that were given. We have two Tanaim who offered the psak, Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. We don't know who gave which psak. So the Gemara says Tistayim. So let's say the following, the Rebbe Hala Ben Api Avav Lekuhuna Detanya. So, we're going to attach Rebbe to the first psak. Meaning, I know in the Gemara that's the way it was presented, but in its first presentation, we didn't assign which psak was said by which Tana. Now the Gemara is going to do assignment. So let's say that the first psak is offered by Rebbe. How do I know that? Because of the following Braisa. So, this is my son. He's a Kohen. Meaning, again, we're talking about a case where this kid came out of nowhere. Meaning, if the child was born in the family and everybody knows it, he doesn't have to testify about him. But we're talking about a case where, you know, the son just appeared out of nowhere. And the father's saying, he's my son, and he's a Kohen. So at that point in time, he's allowed to eat truma, einu nem ala siu isha, but he doesn't yet have that status of yichus. Divrei Rabbi, that's the sheet of Rabbi, amal Rabbi Chiya, mata ma'amin ala achila b'truma, ta'amin ala siu isha, v'imi ata ma'amin ala siu isha, lo ta'amin ala achol b'truma. And Rabbi Chiya just simply responds, kind of like what we've been saying now the last couple of days, how could it be? How could it be you're going to allow him to eat truma, but you're not going to give him the status of yichus? I don't understand. So Amalei, ani ma'amin ala achila b'truma, shebiyado la achila b'truma. Veinu ma'amin ala siu isha, she'im biyado la siu isha. So the response that was offered by Rebbe to Rebbe Chiya is that yesh hevdel, there's a difference. And the difference is biyado. So what does that mean, biyado? Meaning it's within his power. And again, this is an idea that we've expressed numerous times throughout Shas, and that when something's within your power, you're going to be given emunos. When something's in your control, so that means that you are the owner of the item, and therefore you have nemanus on that item. Over here, the owner of a status, but still, when it comes to truma, it's biyado. So what does that mean, it's biyado? So in other words, this is somebody that everybody assumes he's a Kohen, and therefore he'll just simply go himself and receive a distribution. But when it comes to yichus, so there's another person that's involved. It's not so much biyado because you need another person to acquiesce. So the Gemara says, fine. So tistayim. So the Gemara says, good. So it's fair to conclude that Rebbe was the one who said the psak regarding the father and the son. So the Gemara says, "Mid Rebbe halah ben api aviv lakuna Rebbe chiyala ach api achiv lelevia." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so now simple process of elimination. Once we assign the first psak to Rebbe, the second psak belongs to Rebbe Chiya. Good. Now the Gemara says, "Rebbe Chiya maishna ben delo dekaravu etzal aviv achnami karavu etzal achiv." So the Gemara says, "So what I don't understand is the following." Meaning that if Rebbe Chiya is not ready to hear a Karov's testimony about another relative, so what difference does it make whether it's father-son, whether it's brother-brother? It shouldn't make a difference. So to which the Gemara's response is, v'meisiach lefi tumo. So top of Chavav Amad Aleph, so the Gemara says that the case that Rebbe Chiya was referencing was a case where it wasn't Nadus, but rather Meisiach lefi tumo. Right, a little bit of background. And this takes us back to Yavamah. So what's Meisiach lefi tumo? So in Yavamos, we discuss in the following context, and then we're going to bring it back over here. But first, let's take a short trip down memory lane of Masechta Yavamos. So in Yavamos, at the end of the Masechta, so we talked about Eidos Isha, and that is that you can have one witness testifying that a woman's husband has died, and that one witness doesn't have to be a kosher witness. It could be an eved, it could be a woman, and it could be even aid me p aid, but as long as the information comes via a Jew, even though it's not normally a kosher aid, so then you only need aid echad. That's what we learned at the end of Yavamos. Now, what about a guy? Can a guy testify by Eidos Isha? So what did we learn at the end of Yavamos? And I say the end of Yavamos, I literally mean the end. Meaning it was the last off of Yavamos where we learned this idea. And that is that no, a guy can't testify. However, we did also say at the end of Yavamos that a guy can't testify, but we have this thing called Meisiach lefi tumo. And that is that if we are mining the information based on a statement that he made, and his statement was not made in order to testify, he was just simply talking. In other words, and he was just simply giving out information, but not testifying. And now, via that information that he's saying over, so now we are mining that information, so that you're allowed to do regarding Eidos Isha. So if a guy now is reporting, but not Eidos, not testifying, just simply saying, right, I was away and you wouldn't believe what happened to me, et cetera, et cetera. So then what we could do is we can mine that information. That's called Meisiach lefi tumo. What Rebbe Chiya now is saying is the following. That very same idea we're going to apply over here. Now, obviously, this is a totally different context. But still, the idea that obviously a Karov can't testify about another Karov, but what are we talking about over here? We're talking about giving the status of yichus of a Kohen, yichus of a Levi. So over here, we are, for the purposes of yichus, So what Rabbi Chiya is introducing us to is that we could take this idea, this concept of Mesiach Lefitom, and apply it over here. So that means to say that if the brother is not reporting, if he's not testifying, but rather he's just simply stating some facts, right? This is my brother, he came from out of town, right? But he wasn't doing so as an aid, so that would work in the case for the purposes of Yichus. And the Gemara backs this up as we are now continuing on the top of Chavav Amar Aleph. Ki had Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nice about the Mechash Hayam Mesiach Lefitom of Amar Zicharani. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tells us the following incident about a person who recalls a childhood memory. Zicharani Kishani Tinok Amurkav Aktefo Shal Abba. So I was young, doesn't tell us what age he was, but he was a child. And what he was doing is riding on the shoulders of his father's votes, the enemy base of Sefer. And they took me out of school. Vihif Shituni Eskitunasi. And they changed my clothing. Vihit Biluni Lechobachuma. And I went and I toveled in the mikvah in order to eat shuma, Lara, for that evening. In other words, basically, in order to ensure that he was Tahor. So what do you need? So you need Tvila, you need Hera Shemesh. And then you'll be able to eat Shuma. First Mishnah in Brachos. So over here, he's remembering as a child. That's what they used to do. And the story doesn't end. One more point to the story. And Rabbi Chiya Masayim Ba, V'chavere B'delem Imani V'yikornasi Yochanan Ochel Chalos V'alu Rabbi Lukun Alpiv. And what was he described? He was described as Yochanan who eats Chalos. Chalos over here, a term describing Shuma. In other words, whatever, probably borrowed from the Shtei Alechem or from the Lechem upon him. Anyway, regardless, the point is that he has this childhood memory of him being taken out of school so that he can eat Truma, right? He went home with his father, he toveled in the mikveh, he waited Harav Shemesh, and he ate Truma. Anyway, based on that, so he's just simply recalling. He's not giving Eidus, but that's enough. In other words, that's what's called Mesiach Lefitumo, and we're ready to accept Mesiach Lefitumo information in order to give someone the status of Yichus. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end. So we are almost done. A little bit more to go regarding this discussion regarding Yichus. I know it's been a long discussion in the Gemara. Chavdal, Chavhei, and now Chavav as well. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya, Rishon Mem Lazar Amar Kishem Shishuma Chazaka LaKahuna Kach Ma'aser Rishon Chazaka LaKahuna. So Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar makes a striking comment, a little bit of a strange comment. In other words, it's eyebrow raising, and that is that just like Ma'aser Rishon is a chazaka, just like Truma is a chazaka lekahuna, so is Ma'aser Rishon a chazaka lekahuna. And va'acholik be'beis din ain't a chazaka, but if you get a distribution in beis din, that's not going to be a chazaka. Okay, so a number of issues that need to be dealt with in this very short brisa. Number one, so the brisa opens up with the words that just like Truma is a chazaka, so too is Ma'aser Rishon a chazaka in order to establish someone being a kohen. What? Now we all know Truma is a distribution given to Kohanim, and Ma'aser Rishon is given to Leviim. And over here, the Braisa says that if somebody gets a Ma'aser Rishon, he's a kohen. What? He's not a kohen; he's a Levi. So the Ma'aser Rishon to Levihu. That's exactly the Gemara's comment. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to remind ourselves what we learned back in Yevamos. And that was in Yevamos, the Gemara there recalled and told us about Kenas Ezra. Well, first let's read in our Gemara, and then we'll go over it again. Truma LeKohen, and Ma'aser Rishon LeLevi, did Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva says that Truma goes to a Kohen, and Ma'aser Rishon goes to a Levi. Now that doesn't seem to be a Tana who needs to teach us this information, meaning those are Pesukim in the Torah. As we will see in just a moment, this is now post-Ezra. And we'll see why the statement needs to be made. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Ma'aser Rishon, af LeKohen. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is of the position that Ma'aser Rishon goes to a Kohen. So, Eim Adam, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, af LeKohen, LeKohen v'lo Levi mi'amar. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Even as I'm hearing Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so in this Brisa, right, he says that it can even go to a Kohen, meaning a simple pshat in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is, do you know what a Kohen is? I know we said this back in Yevamos, but I get to say it again right now. And that is a Kohen, it's a super Levi. In other words, he's really fundamentally a Levi plus. In other words, plus he's also a Kohen. He gets to do the Avoda, et cetera, et cetera. So what one could have suggested is that what Rav Elazar ben Azariah is simply saying is that a Kohen is a Levi, and then he's more on top of a Levi. And that's why he's entitled to the distribution of Ma'aser Rishon. You could have said that as a pshat, but the Gemara says, not. Yes, but no, that's not the pshat. And that is in Basta Dekan Sinu Ezra. So in other words, Knas Ezra. So because of the penalty that was levied by Ezra, so as a result of that, what Rav Elazar ben Azariah actually meant is that the Maaser Rishon is going to the Kohen and only going to the Kohen and not going to the Levi. Okay, let's recap what we learned back in Yevamos. And that is that in Yevamos we learned together that upon the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, and Ezra and Nehemiah leading the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael in order to build the second Beis HaMikdash, so who followed? Not many. Right? A small percentage of the Jewish people followed Ezra and Nehemiah back into Eretz Yisrael. The number, I believe, is 42,000, thereabouts, in terms of the number of Jews. The total population, I do not know. But 42,000 represented a small percentage of the Jewish people who went back to Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, additionally, the Levim also didn't respond to the call of let's go back and rebuild the second base of Mikdash. The Levim stayed back in Bavel. Ezra was fuming. He was enraged over the behavior of the Levim. And therefore, what he did is he levied a knas. He penalized. And what he did is he took the Maaser Rishon, which should have normally been appropriated, over to the Levim, and he redirected it over to the Kohanim. This is what's called Knas Ezra. This is a penalty levied by Ezra. The Gemara in Yevamos has a longer discussion about it. But right now, we're assuming that our Bryce over here is subscribing to this view of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that this Knas was levied against the Levim, and that means that not only are the Kohanim receiving a distribution of Truma, they're also receiving a distribution of Maaser Rishon as well. And therefore, now, during Bayis Sheni, when you see a Kohen, when you see someone receiving Maaser Rishon, so that person now is a Kohen, because this is post building of the second base of Mikdash. This is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So now you can assume he's a Kohen. V'dilma ikre v'yavule. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't know. In other words, maybe he just received the distribution. Meaning if you're seeing someone eating truma, okay, that's a simon that he's a Kohen. But if you're just seeing a distribution, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be enough of an indicator. So I'm Rav Chista, ha'cha, b'maiskin kagon demuchzok lam b'avua. Da'ay de Kohen hu. So the Gemara says, okay, a little more context over here. And that is that we, his father has a chazaka being a Kohen, v'nafak ala kala de ben grusha ben chalutzahu, v'chilku leili didei, maisa bebeis agranos. So the story over here, the background information over here, is that we all know that his father was a Kohen, but unfortunately rumors started swirling and circulating that mom was a grusha. And what does that make him? It makes him a ben grusha, ben chalutza. Meaning he's a halal, and as a halal, he's not entitled to eating truma. And now the chilku leili didei ma'aser bebeis agranos. And now he received the distribution of ma'aser. So Levi de lav Levi who, Levi de lav Levi who my ikla meimer ben grusha ben chalutza who. So the Gemara says now, as far as a Levi, he's not going to be a Levi because again, the author of this price is subscribing to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Levim did not receive the distribution of ma'aser rishon. So What can we say now? So lo mi by lamanda amar maaser rishon asul azarim de lo hava yavule. So maaser rishon, can it be eaten by zarim? Can it be eaten by non kohanim? Debate. So if I subscribe to the viewpoint that maaser rishon cannot be eaten by levim, cannot be eaten by non levim, so then for sure, in other words, they would not have given to him had they not known for sure he's a kohen. Ela afil lamanda amar maaser rishon mutal lazarim. Even if we subscribe to the viewpoint that Maaser Rishon can in fact be eaten by non-Levim and non-Kohanim, meaning, by the way, that's the halacha, meaning that's the accepted viewpoint, that Maaser Rishon, obviously it has to be distributed to the Levim, primarily, principally, then after Knas Ezra, it was now to be distributed to the Kohanim, and even if I were to say that it can be eaten, consumed by anybody, so hani mili lemisbak lehu, yeah, that's true about eating it, but in terms of receiving a chalukah, receiving a distribution, so distribution is only going to be to those who are entitled to receive the distribution. And post Knas Ezra, who are the only people who are entitled to receive the distribution? That would be Kohanim. So now over here, the context of the matter is that we knew that his father's a Kohen. We had our suspicions, or at least rumors were circulating, that mom was a grusha. And he is now a ben grusha, otherwise known as a halal. And as a result of that, he shouldn't be receiving. But once he receives the distribution, So that now clarifies that, no, that he is in fact entitled to receive it. Meaning to the question of maybe he just got, meaning maybe he was just there. No, the assumption is that if they're distributing, so then he is in fact a Kohen. You can presume to be a Kohen. It is a little bit challenging, a little bit difficult to understand. In other words, right, I guess this works with the position that eating shuma is in fact going to be a benchmark. It'll be a platform in order to establish yichus. Maybe that's the position we're taking over here. But in other words, over the last number of days, the Gemara says that even if you're eating shuma, not necessarily going to be a platform in terms of establishing yichus. Right. So the Gemara says, right. In terms of eating it, so you're correct. But in terms of receiving a distribution, they're only going to be giving it to those people who are entitled to, who are Kohanim. That's the Gemara's assumption. But you're right. In terms of eating it, there wouldn't be a problem. Okay. Now, V'acholik b'beisin einu chazaka. So the Gemara says now, if the distribution is done through a beisin, that's not going to be a chazaka. That's what the Braisa ended. Right, the Braisa had three comments. It had a Kohen receiving Shuma, a Kohen receiving Maaser Rishon, and then the Braisa said, and if you receive a distribution via Beis Din, so that's not going to be a Chazaka. Now, that last comment of the Braisa, the Gemara is just simply going to look at it and basically say, wow, what? The Ibe Beis Din lo havi Chazaka, hecha havi Chazaka. I don't understand. If Beis Din is not going to be able to give somebody status, then who is? In other words, you would assume that if anything, a distribution done via Beis Din is in fact going to bestow chazaka and a status on an individual. The Gemara just simply can't believe what it just heard. So Amar Rav Sheshes Hachi Kamar. So Acholik Truma B'Nichse Aviv Im Achiv BeBeis Din Eino Chazaka. So the Gemara says, well, let's say the distribution over here was not a distribution of Truma, but it was a distribution of Nechasim. Okay, and a little bit of background over here. What happened is the following, and that is that the father was a Kohen, married to two wives. First wife, Kusher, no problem. Second wife that he was married to, we think she's a Grusha. We think she is. And we're pretty sure she is. Okay. And now what happens is that he has sons through both of the wives, and now he dies. And so now, an allocation of his assets, meaning the two sons, in other words, they are both sons of the father, and therefore they're both entitled to receive a portion of the estate. And now, as Beis Din is distributing, because again, now, in terms of distributing assets, so it's going to be done, through Beis Din. And now Beis Din is going to make sure that each one's getting their fair share. Now, can we say the following? This is now what we're contemplating. Can we say that when Beis Din goes ahead and distributes assets amongst these two children, can we say that Beis Din is also clarifying who's a rightful Kohen and who's not a rightful Kohen? How can we do that? Well, let's see how they're distributing. Meaning that as part of the assets, part of the estates, there's truma in the estate. And we're watching now carefully as Beis Din is giving now the truma to one of the brothers and not the other brother. Oh, okay, fine. That's it now, right? That's a tell. That's going to be a good indicator in terms of who's a Kohen and who's not a Kohen. So that's exactly the point. So the Gemara says that that if Beis Din is only serving right now as probate, as you're simply distributing the estate, so now, under these circumstances, they're not focusing on who's a Kohen, who's not a Kohen. They're just simply focusing on an equitable distribution of the estate. And even the one who received Truma, that in that context is not necessarily presumed to be a Kohen. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Pshita ma'od detema medahanach l'chila hay nami l'achila kamash malan. Hanach l'achila hay lizvune. And over here, the function right now of Beis Din is just equitable distribution. I, they gave Truma to somebody who may not be entitled to Truma, doesn't matter. In other words, the Truma is assigned a value. And as a value, in other words, it's being now sent down to the next of kin, not as Truma, but just simply as a value. You can't eat the Truma? Fine, you'll sell Truma. Now, we know Truma on the open market is not going to go for a lot of money, right? In other words, it's significantly going to be sold at a deep discount based on the fact that a Kohen can get it free. In other words, if they know the right people and they have the right channels, a Kohen can get it for free. So over here, you're going to be selling at a deep discount, but doesn't matter. In other words, all we're looking at right now is just the equitable distribution of an estate. And so therefore, which of the sons is going to receive the Truma is in this context is not going to be a referendum on who's a Kohen and who's not a Kohen. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ein Malan Kohen Al Pi Eid Echad. Okay. And where are we right now? We're finally back at the Mishnah. Okay. It's been a minute. Okay. So it's been more than a minute. The Mishnah takes us all the way back to Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. All right. So as I mentioned, Chaf Dalet Chaf Hein, today's daf, Chaf Vav. So it's almost three blot, 2.5 blot of Gemara discussing this issue of Yichus and what's going to give the status of Yichus. And let's remind each other what we learned in the Mishnah, going all the way back to Chav Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah over there first talks about Kohanim who are reporting about each other, right? He's a Kohen, fine. And then the Mishnah goes on to discuss what is the amount of Edim necessary to give status. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. So, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ein Malan Kohen Al Pi Eid Echad. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you need two witnesses. One witness is insufficient. You need two. Amar Rabbi Lazar Emes Abba Makam Sheish Orin. So Rabbi Lazar says that's only when it's challenged. Av Abba Makam Sheish Orin. But when there's no challenge, Malan Kohen Al Pi Eid Echad. One witness will be sufficient if there is no context, if there's no challengers. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Esken Malan Kohen Al Pi Eid Echad. And then finally, the Mishnah gives us a third opinion, that of the Rashbag, quoting Rav Shimon ben Askan, who says that one witness is sufficient. So now, as you heard all three opinions, so what's striking? The Gemara picks up on it right away. And that is that we seem to have just that last opinion, a repeat. Rashbag, Hainu Rebbe Lazar. So the Rashbag is saying the same thing as the Shita Rebbe Lazar. Now, Vichitema, Ir Er. Chad ika beinayu, the Rav Lazar savar irer chad, v'reshbag savar irer trei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what they're arguing is what serves as a challenge, meaning what is going to be legally considered a challenge. And maybe what they're arguing about is whether one person or two people is going to be the legal grounds of a challenge. Is it one person challenging or two person and only two people challenging is going to be an effective challenge? The Gemara says they're not arguing about that because Amar Rav Yochanan Divrei Hakol and Ira Parchos Mishnayim. So we have a tradition, a Kabbalah from Rav Yochanan that challenge only comes in the form of two people. Anything less than two people is not legally a challenge, and everybody agrees to that, and nobody disputes this position, Rav Yochanan. So, in other words, we know there's some area of argument between the opinions of the Rashbag and Rav Elazar. But right now, it's not what is considered challenge. A challenge is two people and only two people. So, Elahacha b'mayiskinan, demochzak lambavu, dai de kohenu. Okay, so, what do they argue? They argue in the following case. Now, everyone, please follow. This is going to be a little bit of a drama. Okay, so, it's a bit of a soap opera. So, the father's a kohen. And v'nafak ala kala de ben grusha ben chalusuhu. So, v'achtinu. So then rumors started swirling and circulating. So yeah, dad's a Kohen. Everyone knows that, but also dad married a Grusha. And so now this child over here, this kid over here is a Chalal. Okay, fine. So what they do? So they demoted him. And so one aide comes and one aide says, I know he's a Kohen. He's good. And again, we're subscribing to the opinions of Rebbe Lazar and the Rashbag. And that is that you only need one. So fine, v'askinu. And so what do they do? Fine. So based on the testimony of the one witness, so they raised him up. They gave him a promotion. So also betray, v'amir ben grusha ben chalutzuhu. So now, along comes two witnesses, and again, this is now going to serve as a formal challenge, and they say no. In other words, the rumors were right. Mom was a grusha. This is a ben grusha. V'achtinu. Okay, so based on now, you have two witnesses coming and reporting. What are you going to do? Yeah, they demoted him. Okay, now asa eid echad v'amar yadana be de kohenu. And now another witness comes and says, no, we know that he's a kohen, meaning mom is not a grusha, right? Those two witnesses are wrong. Okay, now everyone follow. Okay, I know this is like a mini drama. Okay, so so over here we started off with him being a kohen. The rumors now based to now say we're not sure, and they removed the status of being a Kohen. Then you had one witness supporting him, saying that he's a Kohen, so he got promoted. Then two witnesses said he's not a Kohen, he got demoted. Here comes now one witness, I forgot what chapter we're up to now in the saga. Now we have one witness saying, no, he is in fact a Kohen, and now what? And now what? So now you would say the following, meaning let's gather ourselves, shall we? Okay, so, sachakol, sum total. How many, in other words, forget the rumors at the beginning, but how many witnesses now do we have pulling for him and against him? So it's 2v2. In other words, two witnesses now said he's not Cohen, but we haven't accumulated now two witnesses, one on the front end, one on the back end, who said that he is in fact a Cohen. So now it's 2v2. Oh. So what do we say normally by 2v2? So we normally say, okay, fine, 2v2. So let's go back to his presumed status. His presumed status is that he was a Cohen. So he should be a Cohen. So, udekule ama. So now the Gemara says, in this case over here, we're going to have a debate between Rav Elazar and the Rashbag. Udekule ama mitstarfin. So, le'edos. Now, everyone's of the position that what we could do is that we could take the disjointed edim and put them together. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, talks about taking testimony that was not, that's not giving the exact same report, but giving us the same basic idea. And they weren't even reporting at the same time. And taking the disjointed edim and putting them together. Can we be mitzarif edus? Yes or no? Gemara Sanhedrin has a debate on this very issue. Machlokus between the Chachamim, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Rav Yeshua ben Karcha over there is a mekel. So everyone is assuming, like the opinion of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, that we can be mitzarif edim. V'acha b'mechesh lezilusa debate dina kamiflegei. But over here, what is the concern? The concern is the integrity of Beis Din. In other words, Beis Din obviously is our judicial body, and we do have to be concerned about the fact that not only are they judging correctly, but they don't look foolish. Okay, this summer when we did Makos, there was an unbelievably interesting Meiri regarding why by Edom Zomimim, right? I'm even a little bit nervous to say it over, but the Meiri says it, so I'll say it over. So the Meiri says by Edom Zomim, and you know the halacha is that if Beis Din goes ahead and kills the defendant, so the Edom Zomim are not to be killed, right? Hargo einar ragin, right? That's the Mishnah in Makos and Dafhei, and why not? Meaning right? The Gemara's comments. That's illogical. Meaning if for conspiracy, so we're going to put the Edom to death, but if the Edom actually with their testimony now Beis Din goes ahead and kills the defendant, now we're not going to do anything to the Edom Zomim. That's right. That belies logic. It's difficult to understand. So the Meiri over there says, he says it, do you know why we're not going to be killing the Edom Zomim? First of all, as long as I'm saying over the Meiri, the Meiri starts off by saying it's a Choka Torah, meaning that's what the Torah says, right? There's nothing to think about. Then immediately afterwards, he's like, but if you want to think about it for just a moment, and he says, and if I can give an explanation, so he says one of the explanations that he gives is that that what happens now when Beis Din kills the Edom Zomim. So now people are going to totally lose their trust in the Beis Din, in the process of Beis Din. Meaning, oh my gosh, these Edom Zomim were successful in falsely killing an individual. And now we're going to go ahead and we're going to put the Edom Zomim to death. The judicial system, it's no good. And that Beis Din is no good. And overall, in other words, it really will dent the integrity of Beis Din. And so therefore, as a means of protecting the integrity of Beis Din, so therefore we're not going to kill the Edom Zomim. Okay. Again, that's a lot to think about. Okay. But, anyway, so what they similarly over here in our, yeah. Okay. So similarly over here, so the Gemara is saying, that over here, that if look what's going on with Beis Din. This Cohen, he's good. He's not good. Oh, now he's good. So over here, you see Beis Din flip-flopping as much as they do. So what does it do? It definitely challenges the integrity of Beis Din. Like, does this Beis Din know what's going on? Do they know what they're doing? I don't think so. And, you know, unfortunately now at the Kiddushes, that's what people are going to be talking about. And so in order to preserve the integrity, and again, I know it's not, in other words, over here, we're sacrificing, meaning at the sacrifice of taking somebody who really is a Kohen, but because Beis Din now is going to be flip-flopping so much, so there is an opinion, this is as the Gemara now is explaining, there is an opinion that says that we, if Beis Din flip-flops so much, it's no good. Zilusa de Beis Din. Now to the other, Tanakama Savar, Kevin de Achtinu Lamaskinalei. So the Cheshin Zilusa de Beis Din, that's the Tanakama. That once we lower him, we're not going to bring him back up again because again we're worried about the integrity of Beis Din. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar Ananachtin Aleva Anamaskin Alei Ulezus the Beis Din Lecheshina. No, in other words, Beis Din demoted him. Beis Din will be the same Beis Din that promotes him, and we're not worried about Zilusa the Beis Din. Fine. So That is all but one explanation of the machlokas. The Gemara says, let me give another explanation. Maskevla Rav Ashi, Ihachi Filutrei Trei Nami. So Rav Ashi says, I don't understand. So then if you're really worried about Zilusa de Beis Dina, meaning, or let's say better, if that's really the machlokas between the Tanakama and the Rashbag, how about this? How about we keep the case as simple as possible? 2v2. In other words, and the first two came and they demoted him. The second two came and they promoted him. And why don't you make it nice and simple? Meaning, if that's really what they're arguing about. So the Gemara says, Elam Ravashi, Ravashi says, Mimitzarfan Leidus Kamifliki. So over here, the issue is whether or not we could take disparate Eidim and put them together. Meaning, exactly, the Machlokus of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha and the Chachamim in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that's exactly the Machlokus over here in terms of because the Eidim did not come and testify at the same time. One came before, one came afterwards, and now we have to put them together. So can we put these two disparate Eidim together? That's the Machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar, and I'm sorry, and the Rashbag. Okay. The Beplukta Dahani Tanai. And the Gemara says that it really corresponds to the following machlokas. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa, ein edusa mitzarefes, so ad yirushneim keechad, and Rav Yeshua Mekarcha omer, afilu bezecher zeh. Good. And the Gemara brings down exactly this machlokas of the Chachamim and Rav Yeshua Mekarcha, and the Gemara now is suggesting that's exactly our machlokas over here in Ksuvos between the Tanakama and the Rashbag. Ve'ein edusa mitzkayim bevezein ad yirushneim keechad. The Eidus is not going to be good until they come to Beis Din together. And Rabbi Nassan Omer, so Shomim Dvarav Shalzeh Hayom, Kishiyavu Chaver Lamachar, Shomim Dvarav. Meaning, aside from them seeing the event together, that's the Re'iyah, as far as the Haggadah is concerned, when they're coming into Beis Din, do they have to come in together? Or can they come in at two different times? That's also a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Nassan. According to the Chachamim, they have to come into Beis Din together, testify together. And according to Rabbi Nassan, no. In other words, as long as they saw the same event, they could testify on different days. Okay, fine. We'll leave that as it is. Okay, that is the conclusion of the Gemara's discussion regarding Yichus of Kohanim. Okay, so this has been a 3-day venture. Right? You've heard me say this before. When you see the Gemara dedicate so much precious real estate to a topic like this, obviously, I mean, it's an obvious point, meaning it's a really important topic. The Gemara is deliberating back and forth in terms of what is going to create Yichus Lagabe Kahuna, and 3 days here in Ksuvos discussing this issue. Obviously, it's an extraordinarily important issue. The Mishnah. Okay, we are going to, let's begin. Let's begin this next Mishnah. Aisha shenichmasha bidei ovdei kochavim aidei mamon mutar labala aidei nefashos asur labala. Okay, so we're talking now about a woman taken captive. And so, terrible situation, and the question now becomes whether or not she will be permitted to her husband afterwards. Now, let's go over the ground rules. We all know the ground rules, but let's just make sure that we have it clear. In other words, if she is an Ashes Kohen, if she's the wife of a Kohen, so regardless of whether it is Onis or Baratzon, she will be prohibited to her husband. Meaning standards of a Kohen is that his wife cannot be with another man, Efilu Baonis, even if it was even if she was not a willing participant in the act. That's simply the halacha. It's tragic, but that's the halacha. So but when it comes to an Ashes Yisrael, so what's going to be the distinction is onis and ratzon, meaning if that she is violated, so then she is still permitted to her husband. But once she willfully commits the act, so then she's going to be prohibited to her husband. Okay, so a woman, so aisha shenichmasha bidei ovdei kochavim aidei mamon mutar sabala. So if she's taken, but this is just simply business. In other words, this is a transaction. In other words, they understand that. In other words, for them to get money, they have to take the woman. Now, right, unfortunately, right, we Baruch Hashem, we live in a lawful country. So, but in some of the more lawless countries, this is standard operations, and this has been going on in history for ages. So anyway, so if it's over money, so Mater Sabala, so then she's going to be permitted to her husband if and when she gets ransomed. Rashi writes over here, Ali de mamon muter sabala, de mirasase lahafsu mamonim, ve'inam afkir nosa. In other words, because right now this is all transactional, and right now she's an asset to them. And as such, in other words, they're not going to want to touch her because for her, for them, she just simply represents money. So al yidei nefashos asur labala. But let's say they took her al yidei nefashos, meaning right now she was caught on a crime, and they incarcerated her on a crime, and the crime is subject to the death penalty. Now at that point in time, asur labala. Rashi writes over here. I'm reading the Rashi. Asur labala dehol v'noagim bo hefker. At that point in time, basically, there's a chance, there is a possibility she's just simply going to let everything go. Meaning right now, basically, she's looking at an execution. And so maybe she'll just simply say, look, I'm just ready to give it up. Maybe having relations with one of my captors is going to allow me to become free. Anyway, we're worried at this point in time that she will be engaged in an act beratzon. Okay. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Rav Loshana Ela Shiad Yisot Kifa of the Kochavim. Aval Yarov de Kochavim Tkifa Atzman Afili de Mamun Asur Labala. So on this, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak quotes in the name of Rav. There has to be a little more context over here, meaning we can't just simply make a distinction between whether she was taken for money, whether she was taken for nefashos. There also has to be more context. Even when she was taken for mammon, but still, when are the captors going to be going to not touch her and not violate her? That's only when they're living under the jurisdiction of the Jewish people. And although, right, they are they're the worst. In other words, these people are the worst. But there's still some sort of system of law that they have to. They have to abide by. And so under those circumstances, meaning when the Jewish people are in charge and there's a system of law, so under those circumstances, now we can be assured that they will not be violating her. However, if it's Yad Goyim that are Tkifa, in other words, if they're living in a lawless society, so under those circumstances, even when they're capturing her and holding her for money, at that point in time, we cannot be assured that they're not going to be violating her. So, Mates of Rav Haid, Rav Yossi Akon, Rav Zachariah ben Akasav al Basi, so, Shehurana be Ashkelon. So, a woman who was taken captive in Ashkelon. You know what? Let's pause over here because this goes into tomorrow's daf, and I'll give you a little history of the city of Ashkelon, how it's really a plishtim town. Okay, let's do this tomorrow. In other words, this will be the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Let's pause over here, and good. Let's quickly recap. Over the course of today, so we finished our discussion regarding Yichus, right? A 3-day discussion, a 3-day venture here in the second parak of Ktsuvos, Dapim Chav Dalet, Chav Hey, and Chavav, where the Gemara talks about what exactly is going to establish the platform of Yichus. What we started off our day today is that Yichus can be established through a process of what's called Mesiach Lefi Tumo, just like by Eidus Yisha. So if a guy comes back and reports that the husband died, but he's not reporting, it's not giving edus, but it's mesiach lefitumo, that works regarding edus isha. So here's going to be now be your second example in Shas where mesiach lefitumo works, and that's going to be where reporting is done regarding this person, that he's a Kohen or that he's a Levi, right? The Gemara in the beginning of today's daf even goes over a childhood memory, right? He's reminding, right? He's telling other people, right? Stories about his childhood. Regarding how he was taken out of school in order to go to the mikvah, so that night he can eat truma, and that's mesiach lefi tumo. And as a result of that, he can go ahead and eat truma. What if the Kohen is receiving a distribution, and he's receiving a distribution of Maaser Rishon? That also will be a referendum on the fact that he, in fact, is a Kohen. Now, what's going on over there, right? Maaser Rishon, Kohen, what's happening? And this is post the Kenas of Ezra. Meaning after Ezra made a knas on the Levian that they're not going to be receiving a Maaser Rishon for failing to come back to Eretz Yisrael for Bayis Sheni. So therefore, it was reallocated over to the Kohanim. And so therefore, if a Kohen is receiving a distribution of not only Truma, but even Maaser Rishon, that is going to be evidence that he is in fact a Kohen. The last line of the Brisa was really tricky, where the Brisa says that if it's done through Beis Din, so then that's not going to be serving as a platform that he is in fact a Kohen. What's going on over there? We explained earlier that Brisa was talking about just simply a distribution of the estate. And when Beis Din is operating as probate, as simply distributing the estate, so there, Whoever gets truma is not a kohen. In other words, it's just viewed as an asset. Okay. We went back to our Mishnah, and what we tried to do is understand the Mishnah, and the Mishnah brought down the opinions of the Tanakhama and the opinion of the Rashbag, that one witness is all you need in order to establish yichus. So, but they're saying the same thing. What's the difference between them? The Gemara offered, taking us all the way to Chavavim and Beis, the Gemara offered not one, but two pshatim, and what is the machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Rashbag. And finally, this morning we started the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the bottom of Chavav Amid Beis talks about a woman who was taken captive. If she was taken captive over money, so since this is transactional, the captors are not going to violate her. When, in fact, she's ransomed, she can go back to her husband. On the other hand, if she was taken al yidei nefashos, in other words, it was accused of a crime, taken for that purpose, is incarcerated and sentenced to be executed, and for whatever reason she gets out of it, we assume that she is not going to be muteris to her husband. She was nisratza to her captors. We'll discuss much more of that in tomorrow's daf.